On today's Nothing Major, our Monday show, we've got an Indian Wells update for you. We're also going to look back at some of our terrible predictions we made for the Indian Wells event. And we're also going to talk a little Indian Wells gossip. So with that, let's start our Monday episode. All right, everyone. Welcome back. Nothing Major. It's Steve Johnson, John Isner, Jack Sock, Charlie Fox, his team at SIFT. We've got some different backgrounds today. Everyone's floating around. We're all remote, so that's kind of fun. I am actually in Indian Wells, so I've been on the grounds. I got eyes and ears on the grounds for the big event. Buzz is awesome, as always. As you guys know, this tournament, it's Monday right now, the weekend that just passed, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I think outside of Wimbledon, these last 3 days might be like the biggest 3 days in tennis as far as like fans everywhere trying to get tickets, things like that. I've been walking around the grounds, people talking about the podcast, just so you guys know. It's getting a lot of love, which is pretty fun. We are also in this episode going to talk Gossip Corner, new segment. You know, which guys are flirting with who online? There's any new relationships, celebrities at the tournament. John, you're laughing. I know you want to talk about it. I mean,
you're right, I do. I absolutely do.
This was your idea, so we're going to go with it. I'm just joking. All right, let's talk about Indian Wells. Upsets galore. Zverev loses. Djokovic loses. Let's start with Zverev. He was the number one seed for the first time in a Masters Series at a major. Although coming into this event, lost early in Buenos Aires, early in Rio, early in Acapulco. Wasn't coming in with a lot of confidence. Stevie, let's go to you. Are you surprised that he lost early, or like, did we see this coming based on the 3 weeks prior to this and how bad his results were?
Yeah, I don't know if we saw this coming. I'm pretty sure I stated after he lost the Australian Open that, you know, when he made those comments, you know, he's like, I'm just not good enough. You know, he went on and on saying, like, you know, he's just not ready to win a major. I said he would be fine. He's going to be fine in Indian Wells, Miami. He's going to win some of these tournaments. And all that matters is the next thing, the next Grand Slam in May, which is the French for him. But I think I was wrong on that prediction, as I am with many, many other predictions. He has looked out of sorts, flat, just not his best tennis. He's kind of reverted back to his old style of tennis, where he's just kind of rallying. And that wins, that has won him hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of matches on tour. But I like what he was doing earlier, you know, late last year, early this year, kind of trying to be more aggressive from the ground. And I think he's just kind of gone backwards. I don't know if that's just a byproduct of losing the Australian Open final and the mental and, you know, emotional toll that took on him. You know, I don't know what it feels like to be a number one seed in a Masters Series, but that has to be some immense pressure as being the top dog with Sinner being out. And it's just something that he hasn't gotten a hold of yet. I think he'll be fine. I really do think he'll be fine. I think this is just a bump in the road. But the last month down in the Golden Swing and his start here in Australia or in Indian Wells, not great. So there's a lot better tennis for him to be played. It's just kind of interesting to see him in this rut of kind of an emotional, like just flat period where you don't see the excitement and the energy that he usually does bring to the court.
What does a player do when they're in a rut like this? We've all been in a rut. Like, how do you bring yourself out of it? Jack, let's start with you. Like, when you were playing events, obviously, like I just said it, we've all been in a rut. Like, what do you look for in your game to pull yourself out of it and give yourself some confidence?
I mean, obviously, we all put hours on the practice court. We all put work in on the practice court when you're not at tournaments, and that's probably the initial thing that you'll want to do is to get out there and think you need more reps. For me, honestly, personally, when I was playing, I would go back and watch matches a little bit or go watch some like highlights of when I was playing well or when I thought I was playing well and try to just like honestly envision doing that again in my head and then just try to go execute it in the next match. There's only so many balls we can hit, you know, on the practice court, hours in the gym, all those things. We all took care of what we needed to there and then it's more just confidence mentally. I think when you step on the court, you're not fixing your forehands or backhands or anything at that point in your career. So yeah, for me, I would go try to kind of pump myself up by watching highlights of when I thought I was playing well, and know that I can, you know, produce that product again.
I used to do that too. If I wasn't playing well, I'd go watch highlights, YouTube highlights on my good match, to like fire myself up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like brought confidence. You're like, damn, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it is fun. John, when it comes to playing, what's more important, having confidence or feel like you're like striking the ball well?
Confidence, without a doubt. And that's what he's severely lacking right now. And there was sometimes I think with Sasha, I mean, just to continue talking about Sasha a little bit, you know, he won a pretty kind of ugly close encounter in his first round match in Acapulco. And then after he won that close one, you kind of figured he might sort of take off from there and have a deep run at that event. Did not happen. He lost in the second round. He might have been sick as well. I think that's what he said afterwards. But you know, then he comes in Indian Wells, and look, he loses to Griekspoor, wins the first set 6-4, then loses 7-6, 7-6. It's just a lack of confidence. He's not winning those big points that we're accustomed to seeing him doing. And it just takes one or two matches in a row where you win a close one. Like if he would have won that match 7-6 in the third, he might, you know, might have gotten that monkey off his back, that lack of confidence monkey off of his back. And it just didn't happen right there. Whether, you know, it was as Stevie mentioned, it was the emotional toll of not winning the Australian Open. In his previous Grand Slam finals losses, he actually recovered quite well. After the U.S. Open, after the French Open, he recovered very well and played fantastic after that. It's not been the case this year after the Australian Open. And as we all know, he had, and I think the windows, it might be closing here a little bit, but he had a legitimate window to get to the number one ranking in the world with Sinner out for 3 months. And he hasn't done anything to help him do so. So, you know, the Australian Open loss was tough on him. He said so after the match. He was real down on himself. And now he has this window to get to number one in the world, which he was close to years ago before he rolled his ankle as well against Rafa at the French Open. And he's played, quite frankly, like crap for his standards. So we'll see if he can turn it around in Miami. It's not a case of hitting the practice courts more. I think that's as Jack mentioned. It's just maybe he needs to take a few steps back. He's got 9 or 10 days till his next match in Miami, and just try to forget about some things and take the court and try to play a good first match, second round for him in Miami, and see if he can take off from there.
It's weird. I think as a player, sometimes you can like get through matches, and it could go both ways. Like John said, it can get like the monkey off your back. You can play well, but you can also win matches close, and it's just like a relief. You're like, oh, thank God I got through that, and like you still don't actually have the confidence. It's kind of case by case, player by player. But you're right. He's hopefully he can just put a run together, and he needs to win some ugly matches any way he can, starting in Miami. All right, let's move on to Novak. We're all like very bullish on Novak still, especially me. I'm starting to lose faith now. I don't know what happened. He was like practicing well, he said, and then went out there and losing that match. So odd, I feel like, to lose that, and now he's got like the 12 days. What's going on with, I'm just going to be vague, Stevie, what's going on with Novak?
I mean, I've said it a few times, like, what is there to prove for him? I just don't know what gets him excited to go out and compete nonstop. Like, he's done it for so long, his entire career. He's an incredible, incredible competitor, and he just seems flat out there. Winning Indian Wells doesn't get the juices going, doesn't move the needle for him in his career anymore. I mean, the guy has won everything multiple times over. It's truly remarkable that he's still doing it. You know, I think a lot of us would have probably called it a career by now if we had this many titles and all the records and whatnot. But it just looks like he's just flat. And the vibes play with Murray in the box didn't get him to where he needed to be this week at Indian Wells, which it did it in Australia. And I just think the mojo is not there for these smaller tournaments. I think we're going to see him be fine in the French and Wimby. And, you know, he's only going to have the opportunity the next time he plays. And it might be Miami. It might be a while. So it's going to be interesting to see with him. And it's just weird to see him kind of handing guys, you know, career wins on his last potentially couple years, tournaments, who knows, on tour. So it's weird to see Novak as a human out there losing 3 matches in a row.
But we say, like, you know, he's only getting fired up for the majors. But you also can't, like, play nothing, and just show up at the French Open. You, like, you have to play some of these smaller events if you want to call them. So, like, Novak has to find a way to, like, get motivated at these events and get some confidence, because right now he's not in a place where he can just rock up to the French Open or rock up to Wimbledon, in my opinion, and just put it together.
You don't think he can kind of just get to the French in a 3 out of 5? Like,
no, I don't.
You think, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but a 2 out of 3, the belief to beat some of these guys in a 2 out of 3 is way different than 3 out of 5.
I don't. If you would have asked me that question 4 years ago, I'd have been like, absolutely. Novak can do nothing wrong. He can rock up. Now, I think he needs matches.
Like, I still think he makes third, you know, round at the French, like, playing bad tennis.
I smell a bet between you and me.
All right, let's do it.
Nothing major wagers, Jack calls it.
Yes.
Jack, what's Novak got it? Are you agreeing with my take? You think he's got to, like, find some matches in Indian Wells, Miami, Monte Carlo, Rome, Madrid, or... is he good enough to rock up to a major still?
Well, I'd also like to say, like, credit to Van de Zandschulp and Griekspoor. Those I literally said that when those two guys are on, they are so dangerous and, like, very, very, very good players. So they're not. It's not like the most horrendous losses for those guys. But yeah, I agree with you, Sam. I don't think Novak could, if he wanted to, just not play right now until the French and show up and think that he's gonna be playing on the, you know, on the weekend of the second week. I don't know how realistic that is, which sounds weird because the amount of matches he's won and played in his career to tell somebody they need to go play matches and get wins is a little strange. But I think if he does, I mean, I obviously picked him to win the tournament. Great call by me. So I think he, who knows on Miami, but if he, you know, whether it's a Monte Carlo and you know, over in Europe playing some of those on clay before the French, it'd be good for him to get some wins and get some confidence built up in there before trying to go win another slam.
I'm with you, Sam and Jack. I just, like, it's just so we're not accustomed, of course, to him losing kind of and going down with, like, a bit of a whimper. Like, 6-1 in the third to Van de Zandschulp, like, 2 straight years he's lost to a lucky loser at Indian Wells. We're just not used to seeing that. So he seems to be lacking a little bit of motivation. I mean, look, his quote... after the match was, things are different, obviously, for me the last couple years. I've been struggling to play on the desired level. Every now and then I have a couple good tournaments, but, you know, mostly it's really a challenge. It's really a struggle for me right now. I mean, look, Father Time, certainly it might finally be catching up to him. He's 37 years old. You don't play your best tennis at 37 years old as opposed to 27, 28, or 29. He's just got to find that motivation and his, I guess, find the fun in playing again, because he's accomplished so much, as Stevie has said. So whether or not he plays Miami, that's a tricky one. He's pulled out of Miami a lot in the past, so the last 4 or 5 years. He hasn't played that tournament. But if he doesn't play Miami, it might be a good time for him to refocus, get back home, get back to Europe with his family, and likely start in Monte Carlo, maybe play Madrid. He typically always plays Rome, and get ready for the French Open. So I think he'll be fine. It's a case, in my mind, it's a little bit of both, like a little bit of lack of something there, that, like, motivation that he's trying to find in these tournaments that aren't Grand Slams, and the fact that he's almost 38 years old, catching up to him a little bit. I just think he needs a mental break, even though he hasn't played that much. It's not like he's worn out from playing matches, but just needs a little bit of break, step back, find that motivation again, and he should be fine. But he does need matches, for sure. Like, he needs to play Monte Carlo, which I think he will, and he always plays Rome, and we'll see what he can do in those tournaments to start to develop some confidence. Also, Miami. We haven't heard if he said anything about Miami at this point. I would be surprised if he plays it, personally, but we'll see what he does.
All right, enough talking about the big guys. Let's give some love to some other players around the tour. Watanuki beat Tiafo last night. Oh, I commentated that. Have you guys been listening to my commentating? Thoughts?
I think you're good.
Thank you.
I texted you and Brett Haber.
You did. That was a nice text.
And I said, I think your cadence is really good. You end your comments at the right time, right before a point. So I'm bullish on you in the commentating booth, Sam.
Anyway, I called Watanuki beat Tiafo last night. Watanuki, this guy's ranked 349 in the world. He's qualified here, now won 3 matches. He's unbelievable. Any of you guys ever seen this guy play?
Yeah, I've played him a couple times.
You've played him?
Yeah.
Did you beat him?
I think once, and then he got me. He's got a massive serve. He can hit the ball so hard. Like, and he's got the weirdest, goofy, like, pre-serve, like, ritual, whatever you want to call it, routine, like, where he steps back, he's, like, upright. And then he, like, kicks his front foot forward, which I don't think any other guy does. Yeah, the guy's got a cannon, plays with a blue bab. He's got, like, a lot of fire out there. And he's fun to watch. Like, and he's, yeah, I've got him once and he's gotten me once. But, you know, back in the day.
He's good. I brought his name up earlier. Jack, you've played him or seen him play?
I think I played him maybe once at the Challenger Life Grind.
Oh, Jack, you beat him 1-1.
You beat him 1-1. That looks so good now.
Oh, that looks so good.
Yeah, I was very unimpressed, to be honest. but yeah, obviously he's catching fire right now. I think even when he was playing challengers and I would see him at some, like, yeah, 1 week he looked unbelievable. He looked like he was the next thing, and he was going to be top 50 in the world. And then you see him the next week and he plays like he's 350 in the world. So
he plays Greekspor now. We might see him in the quarterfinals.
Okay, I know we're not going to spend like a lot of the time on the pod about Watanuki, but is he ranked 350 because he's been hurt?
He's been hurt,
but also the results, it's kind of a combo, honestly.
He has the ability to be, I mean, I don't think
this year he made quarters of a challenger and then lost a bunch of qualies of like 250s.
The high level is high and the low level is, you know, there's a reason he's not a staple in the top 50, but he can play very good. Were you guys calling that match with Francis last night against Watanuki? He pulled the fake racket.
It's good.
Out of the, he's like, I lost my racket, or he left my rackets again in the locker room, and he had everybody, he had Muhammad in the chair, pretty confused. It was pretty good.
Yeah, that was a good move from Francis, faking everyone out. Other news, Draper beat Fonseca, my guy, 6-4, 6-0. It was like 4-4 first set, got broke, and then Fonseca just was done. So many unforced errors, but that's a bummer. Although I like Draper too, so. Monfils quarter match, I called that one 6-6 for Monfils. He's just like back. He's like kind of like having a little bit of a resurgence at 38. Well, the other 38-year-olds, including us that aren't even 38, some of us are not even playing anymore. Tsitsipas beat the hottest guy in tour, Matteo Berrettini in straights. Got to shout out Marcus Giron. Is it Giron or Giron? I should know. Like, it's Giron. Giron.
That we should know that. I practiced them 1,000 times and see him all
he's
daily
like just,
out.
He's like, kind of quietly going through the tour, making moves. Or sorry, through the draw. Like, it's fun to see a SoCal guy playing well here. And Brooksby also in the event. So like, there's some, I'm not going to call them dark horses, but just good results for local guys. Which kind of brings me to our next point. Our draws that we filled out. We kind of picked guys not ranked top 8 who we thought we were going to do well. Jack, Tom picked Tommy Paul and Ben Shelton. Those guys are actually doing well. Jack, are you still happy with those picks? Like, do you think they're...
I like my two. Shelton, he's a very confident person and player, so he'll probably make a deep run here. It seemed like his first round was fairly straightforward. And then Tommy, there's nothing you can do against a guy. It's too fast. He strikes the ball too well, so he's going to make a deep
run. He's your guy.
Run.
You love Tommy like Stevie loves Nishikori.
I'm with Jack. I mean... I think Cameron Norrie is a nightmare to play against, and Tommy beat him pretty easy. So
he was like 3 years ago.
I mean, I don't know. I think that level is still
there. Call a spade a spade. I mean, yeah, especially no, there. Cam's especially still so good, but there's 2021 Cam and 2025 Cam.
Okay, no, fair enough. I mean, yeah. Fair, but I like his game anyway. I thought that had the potential to be a tricky one for Tommy, and you know, it was like 5-3 or something. So yeah, I'm with Jack. Tommy, I didn't choose him, but Tommy's looking really good.
John chose Shelton and then Nakashima and Hurkacz. A little off the beaten path, but like, you're looking good too.
Yeah.
Stevie, you have Arthur Fils, who saved match point last night against Musetti. You also have Shelton. You lost Felix.
I mean, not really. It was the caveat that he was going to get 4 walkovers. He played a guy that finished the match, so that was a bad sign for Felix.
I got to choose 4 because Jacqueline chose 2. I had Berrettini, Opelka, Fonseca, Korda. They all lost. That's so bad. I was about to text you guys yesterday because for listeners right now, we were going to fill out a draw of the entire tournament. Stevie and I actually filled out the draw. Jack and John, you guys didn't do it in time. And I was about to get mad at you guys, but then I realized like all my picks lost. So it's good for me that we're redoing this.
We're going to redo this from the round of 16 on.
Americans to go the furthest. That's where we crushed it, though. We kind of were all sniffing around with like Fritz, Emma Navarro, Jessica Pegula, Tommy, Shelton. Does an American win one of the two events? Just a yes or no. And if it's a yes, tell me who it is. Stevie, does an American win the men's or the women's? Yes or no?
Yes, I think it's the women's.
Who?
I'm going to stick with Emma Navarro. She saved match points. You know how you guys get through that? If you save a match point, you just never know what's on the backside of that. So I'm going to stick with her. I just think, as John said last week, Carlos is – it's hard to go against Carlos. Like, he's, I think, a three-peat. We're sniffing around for a three-peat.
Yeah, I don't think so. John, yes or
you
no?
Were, like, American that was win. Like the – you've done a 180 from last week.
No, no, well
– yeah, you have.
What am I going to take complete 180?
I mean, yeah.
No, you spoke first last week, and you said completely, yeah, like, no shot. We think it's open, and I'm just telling you what you said.
Yeah, I agree, but after
you
watching
said
the beginning of this
point,
I did say possibilities. John, good call on that, by the way.
Yeah, I thought
I was listening back. It's funny, but yeah, just watching it play out now, like, obviously the draw, it's like Casper, yeah, good pick on that one. Carlos is, yeah, I don't see a guy... You know, he's got the new tattoo of his Netflix show coming out. Like, he's just teasing stuff. Yeah, you didn't see that? Like, in his, well, I guess his first match, he had, like, a tattoo of, like, 4/23, 25, something on there. And that's, like, his documentary on Netflix is coming out in April 23rd, if not mistaken. Like, they followed him all last year, like, his French and Wimby wins. Pretty sure it was just a publicity tattoo, but they got it.
All right.
The job done.
John, American winning, yes or no?
I'll say yes, and it's going to come on the women's side. There's too many good players.
Yeah,
that's who I chose, right? But, I mean, I don't think Coco. I mean, good heavens. Like, if she can stop double faulting, then, yeah, I know.
When you look at that match.
If she can just fix that, then, yes, she's one of the favorites. But she wasn't playing that great. Wasn't playing with a lot of confidence, obviously, of 21 double faults. But that shows how good she is to be able to overcome that. There's just too many good players. I mean, I – chose Pegula. I piggybacked off of you, Sam, but between Jesse and Coco and Emma Navarro and Madison Keys, I think there's a lot of good players with a really good chance of winning this event.
Just to be different, I'm going to say no to both draws. But yeah, I agree. I think on the women's side, there's multiple that could win the tournament. And I mean, on the men as well. I mean, Fritz and Tommy and Shelton. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys were playing on finals weekend as well, but just to be a little different, I'm going to say no.
I'm going to go Pegula still. Men's side, just no, because just no. All right, let's move on to Gossip Corner. New segment we're going to try. Just what's going on around the grounds. I'm going to start with this. I don't know how much you guys are online. Ben Shelton's been flirting with Trinity Rodman. For those of you who don't know that, that's Dennis Rodman's daughter. She's a professional soccer player. Been flirting online. John, as the oldest person in the group, did you even know that?
No, I didn't know who she was. I mean, I had to look it up. I just, Rodman, you know, hear the last name, and no, I didn't know it. Where? Is this on X or something?
I think it's probably on TikTok.
Okay.
But I don't know. Maybe we'll see Trinity Rodman at the.
But
Miami,
where was he? Where were they flirting with each other?
Online. They're like messaging. Hey, it's new age flirting. You know, it's web flirting.
No, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Get out. Check it out, man. Google it. It's a juicy little stuff. Also, last night at the event, Kylie Jenner, Kendall Jenner, Timothy Chalamet at the event. I'm a big Timothy Chalamet fan. I don't know if you guys saw him on College Game Day earlier this year. I didn't know who he was. Honestly.
He knows ball, dude.
Yeah. He does. I walked by Kylie last night. I was like pretty starstruck. Wanted to get her on the pod.
Did you ask?
No, she had like three massive security guards around her. I felt like I couldn't even look at her. But anyway, let's go here. Who's got the best outfit on tour during Indian Wells? Have you guys, man or woman, do you guys feel like someone's got an outfit that's making a splash?
I have an issue with Francis Tiafoe. He's got to cut the sleeves off, dude. He's not playing so good with sleeves on. He's lost all his powers when he wears like shirts with sleeves. Like, he needs to go cut off. He's got to let the arms free. I think that's an issue for him. He's got to talk to Lulu about this and get some like just tank tops out there to play. And the guy's guns are. You got to let him go out there with a tank top and let him play. No more sleeves on Francis' shirt.
All right, we'll see that. We'll see that later in the year, I think.
I like what Fila and Emma Navarro are doing. Like her outfit's just solid, simple, and, you know, not, there's no frills, but I think it's a good look.
You would pick a Fila outfit.
but it does look good.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you. It looks good. That's what I'm saying.
I got another one. Potapova. I don't know if you guys know who she is. She was watching Greekspor beat Zverev the other day. She used to be married to Shevchenko, but now she's in Greeks. Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow, you right? got your you did your research.
Dude, I'm yeah. right? I've wow. got stuff going on. I've been on the web. Just I'm also here, and I saw Potapova in Greek sports box, so I had to Google it. But that's somewhat interesting, I feel like.
I take some offense to this next. I think you know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
The Humbert thing.
What's the Humbert thing?
That he says he brought a chef over to the States because he says the food here is terrible. He goes, I get sick every time
that
I come over.
That offends me.
Yeah, that's what I said, dude. I saw that this morning, and I was
I got to confirm that today. If Humbert brought a chef.
Yeah. Humbert.
Is this a quote from Humbert? Actually, the United States is the country where I feel the least comfortable, the least at ease. Already at the tournament sites, there's a lot of noise generally with loud music, for example. But it's also a place that I have trouble eating. I'm talking about the quality. You go to the restaurant and you get plastic salads, for example, and I always end up with a stomachache. I'm hypersensitive to that. I'm very careful about nutrition. I'm also gluten intolerant. I can eat a little bit, but I have to be careful. Otherwise, there's pain. So I hired a chef. Dude.
I know.
That's so soft.
I mean, just go to Whole Foods, right?
Seriously.
There's so many. Every restaurant has options for gluten-free stuff. Like, you go to Firehouse and get a gluten-free sub. Like, they have, they have the options everywhere. It's really not that hard. Go to Whole Foods. Go to a Sprouts, whatever. Have someone on your team if you need to cook some stuff. But just go to any decent restaurant and you have gluten.
One thing, too, that I find annoying now when you're on the grounds at these big tournaments, I don't know if they like hire influencers, but there's this like girls and guys like get ready with me to go to Indian Wells, and they're on the ground taking stupid content. It's
yeah.
Oh
wait,
it's
wait,
so
isn't
cringy.
That what you're doing? I mean, Sam, it's kind of what
that.
You're doing.
I don't do that.
Isn't that what you're doing?
No. It's
very Sam, wait, hold on. The three of us have that question to pick with you right now.
Hold on, Sam. I'm with Stevie here. So if you do this, like follow me. I'm with Rainstorm. Follow me as we go check out the Dallas PPA event. Like you did it here.
I've never done this at a tennis tournament. Can we?
Okay, not at a tennis tournament.
I do mine different.
He's gonna start doing this different. Stuff on I'm there. Like, get ready with me.
I've done a couple, but it's joking. These people are like serious out there, and like you look at it, and there's like eight people following them, and you're just like, what is this? I think some of them are being paid, but I think some of them aren't being paid, and those are the ones I'm talking about that look stupid.
Sam and I are gonna have to do some on-site potential filming today as well. We have to dog the bounty hunter Berrettini at some point and give him his award. We're gonna have to find him.
We're going to give Stevie and I are going to hunt down Berrettini. He plays doubles first up. I've got part of his trophy right here and the sash and the thing. So Stevie and I are going to get that. Stevie and I are going to find him today after he plays doubles first up. Stevie and I are going to be over the courts. Win or lose, we're going to have to
get
kind
him.
Of harass him after the doubles and get the photo and give him his trophy. So we'll have that for you guys soon. All right, anyway, that's Gossip Corner. We need ideas for that. That entire segment was average, but it's something we want to do. I want to do. So if you guys have ideas in the comments, let us know how we can make that better. We kind of previewed who we thought was going to be in the semifinals last week. Do we still like everyone's picks? John, do you remember who you had in the semis?
On the men's side?
Let me do this. Are you still, like, our predictions last week, give us your prediction winner for men and women still.
Oh, I love it. And I'm actually calling the finals, I called the finals of the men's event, and that's still alive. And I'm still very bullish that that's going to be the finals.
And the Tsitsipas finals, you have Alcaraz, Tsitsipas?
Yes.
Jack, give us your finals and maybe a winner.
I'm going to go Alcaraz, Tommy Paul in the final.
Stevie J?
Yeah, Alcaraz. I just want to be different than these guys. So I'll just go with Arthur Fils.
Whoa,
dude.
That's feasible.
That's going to go different. You know, what am I going to just go chalk like
good,
these guys?
Jack. That was good.
All right, good pick. I'm still going with Medvedev. He's cruising through the draw. No issues. Medvedev's going to beat Fritz in the finals. But next Monday, we can see if anyone was right. All right, that's it. That's Nothing Major Mondays. Good show. As always, we've got the Friday show coming out later this week. We've got a Riley Opelka interview that we filmed last week. I'm not sure when it's going to come out. We're sitting on it. It's going to come out sometime in the next 3-4 weeks. We might save it and run it after Miami. But that's going to be fun. But always, like always, go to YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, review, leave us comments. Let us know what you guys like. If you guys like our predictions, if you like Gossip Corner. But anyway, we'll see you guys on Friday.